Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Amen. So our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. And all you have to do is call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. But first, let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me as I bring forth your message this day. Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow strong more and more every day, every way like Christ, so that we may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Oh, Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings, we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. I see that I have a caller on the line. God bless you, caller 929-527. How are you this evening, and do you have a prayer request?
Well, good. Praise be to God. God bless you, Brother Jake. How are you this evening? And do you have a prayer request?
I'm good. I want to pray for our country.
Amen.
Just our government.
Yes.
There's just so much evil going on. I just want to pray that people come to their minds and stop putting up with it.
And I will give you that opportunity to pray that prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Father God, we thank you for this fellowship suite. We
yes,
thank you
God.
For pray one for another.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray that you touch our government figures
yes,
and remind them of their fiduciary responsibilities to serve us, the people. I pray that you bring their oaths that they made to office to their remembrance and touch their hearts and give them a clear conscience that
yes,
they want to keep clear, and bless them if they do so. All these things I pray for in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank Brother Jake for that wonderful prayer. And at this time, I will play another selection. We're going to lift Jesus up at this time. Amen. Praise be to God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on,
the problem may be,
He's in control
and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
He's in control
and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say
it
like the best of people.
Best of
peace. Come on, lift them up again.
Oh,
you
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. First, my scripture reading is 2 Samuel 22:47, where it says, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation." El Salai. El Salai, I bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high, like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come upon the strength of who you are. I find a firm foundation to build my life. You provide my salvation and stability of my times. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Praise be to God. So again, at this time, I will play another selection, and I will come at 7 p.m. And bring a word from the Lord this evening. Amen. Praise be to God. So I hope you enjoy this selection, Jesus Saves, by the Wiki Tones. Praise God.
The things that you're doing, knowing ain't right. Don't even know if you can make it through the night. So let's pray. Don't have to be ashamed.
Never too late.
Never too late.
Stand tall.
Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, we'll come with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled Rainbow Halo. Praise be to God. The scripture reading for this message is coming from Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. Amen. Genesis chapter 9, turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. Praise be to God. Where it does say, then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. So these verses is saying Noah stepped out of the boat unto an earth devoid of human life. But God gave him a reassuring promise. This covenant had three parts to it. And it said, number one, never again will a flood do such destruction. These are the promises God promised to Noah. Number two, he said, as long as the earth remains, the seasons will always come as and number three, a rainbow will be visible when it rains as a sign to all that God will keep his promises. The earth order and seasons are still preserved, and rainbows will remind us of God's faithfulness to his world. Amen. Praise God. The text for this message is coming from Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, and it says, my rainbow will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Praise be to God. Again, the title of this daily bread and scripture reading, Rainbow Halo. The writer says, on a hike in the mountains, Andre found himself above some low-lying clouds. With the sun behind him, Andre looked down and saw not only his shadow, but also a brilliant display known as a Brocken spectre. This phenomenon resembles a rainbow halo encircling the shadow of the person. It occurs when the sunlight reflects back off the clouds below. Praise God. Andre described it as a magical moment, one that delighted him immensely. We can imagine how similar, stunning, seeing the first rainbow must have been for Noah. More than just a delight to his eyes, the refracted light and resulting colors came with a promise from God. After a devastating flood, God assured Noah and all the living creatures who have lived since that never again would the waters become a flood to destroy all life in Genesis 9 and 15. Our earth still experiences floods and other frightening weather that results in tragic loss. But the rainbow is a promise that God will never judge the earth again with a worldwide flood. Promise of his faithfulness can remind us that though we individually will experience personal losses and physical death on this earth, whether by disease, natural disasters, wrongdoing, or advancing age, God blesses us with his love and presence throughout the difficulties we face. Sunlight reflecting colors through water is a reminder of his faithfulness to fill the earth with those who bear his image and reflect his glory to others. Amen. Praise God. Question. How does God's promise reassure you in the midst of weather-related catastrophes? And who in your life needs your reflection of God's glory? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to protect and provide for me and others by sustaining the natural laws of your creation. And help me to reflect your glory to those around me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. So at this time, I will play another selection, and you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'll play another selection by Helen Baylor. Lord, you are holy. Amen. It's an old song, but I love the words to it. And I think she's a phenomenal singer. Praise be to God. I hope you enjoy this selection.
Lord, you're holy and we
God, my rock, again and again, I enter into my day with the greatest of intentions, ready to trust you as your names remind me of your great power. Yet when the winds blow and the waves crash against the shore, I forget to look at you. My God of rock, I forget that you are strong and that you have not been moved by what moves me. Forgive me each and every time I have not sought refuge in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? So just pick up the phone, dial the number, and say, I want to pray for this person. I want to pray for that. And that's why we're here, to pray one for another. Amen? So at this time, I will play another selection. This one is More Than an Ordinary Servant. How many of you out there today want to be more than just an ordinary servant to our Lord and Savior? Amen? I hope you enjoy this selection. Praise God.
Lord, that keepeth not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul even forevermore, evermore. My
gentlemen, my sister, see.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. God, my rock, as my rock and my salvation, be my stability when things are not stable. Whisper to me in those times when I no longer see you there. When our nation economy falters and so much around us seems to be on unsteady ground. Help me focus on your never-ending kingdom and eternal throne. They are unshakable because you are my solid rock. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So this concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now at this time, I will play a selection. And after the selection, I will come back and give you what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. No looking back. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Can finally breathe again.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Amen. So first, let's say a little short prayer here. Father, blessed be your holy name to our hearts today. You have bestowed upon us many gifts. You have lavished upon us many mysteries of life. You have required of us obedience by faith. You have promised guidance when our own sight may fail us. You have proven yourself to us over and over. May we, in this offering, express our love in a finite way to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, my scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, okay, this chapter is verses 1 through 4, Jesus teaches about giving to the needy. Amen. And he said, this is Jesus speaking. He said, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, praise God, in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Amen. Verse 5 through 8 through 9, Jesus teaches about prayer. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogue, where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Amen. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Pray. Don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And verse 16 through 18, Jesus teaches about fasting. He said, and when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and dishevered, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Amen. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. So you see, Jesus, in verses 14 through 16, Jesus gives a starting warning about forgiveness. And if we refuse to forgive others, God will also refuse to forgive us. Why? Because we don't forgive others. We are denying our common ground as sinners in need of God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness of sin is not the direct result of our forgiving others, but it is based on realizing what forgiveness means. And you'll find that in Ephesians 4 and 32. It is easy to ask God for forgiveness, but difficult to grant it to others. Whenever we ask God to forgive us for sin, we should ask, have I forgiven the people who have wronged me? Spoke on fasting. Fasting, he said, was going without food in order to spend time in prayer. It's noble and difficult. It gives us time to pray, teaches us self-discipline, reminds us that we can live with a lot less, and helps us appreciate God's gifts. Jesus was not condemning fasting, but hypocrisy, fasting in order to gain public approval. Fasting was mandatory for the Jewish people once a year on the Day of Atonement. And you'll find it in Leviticus 23:32. The Pharisees voluntarily fasted twice a week to impress the people with their holiness. Jesus commanded acts of self-sacrifice done quietly and sincerely. He wanted people to adopt spiritual discipline for the right reasons, from a selfish desire for praise. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. God, my rock, you deserve my gratitude. You stay steady when all else around me crumbles and falls. Thank you for your power and strength. Thank you for being my rock, the God of my salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for my sins. Thank you for not only saving me for eternity, but also for offering me salvation while on this earth. Accept my humble words and heart of prayer as I bow before you to thank you for all you have done for me. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. When we suspect that certain individuals have their religion on parade, we say they are wearing their halos too tight. When your halo is too tight, all kinds of complications set in. When your hat is too tight, you get a headache. But when your halo is too tight, you give other people a headache. You turn them off and make Christianity distasteful, Christ unattractive. As an old slogan of the advertising industry is, running a business without advertising is like winking at a girl in the dark. You know what you're doing, but she doesn't. The slogan is true. It pays to advertise. Advertisement, empty attics and garages of dust collectors and line our pockets with dollars. They simulate sales and increase profits. There are some things, however, that advertising kills. One is humility. Advertised it, and it becomes pride. Another is altruism, ties it, and it becomes egotistic. Adversity, spirituality, and it becomes hypocrisy. Jesus spoke out against wearing our halos too tight. He warned of three areas where we must avoid any ostentatious demonstrations of superior piety, to advertise our spirituality, to destroy it. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. And it says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Amen. Praise be to God. My title for this message is, when your halo is too tight. Think about that. When your halo is too tight. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs or three parts. First, we are going to talk about in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, your halo is too tight when you do good deeds to attract attention. Amen? Jesus assumed that we would work and thus did not warn us against idleness. He took our good deeds for granted and in no way was advocating secret discipleship. He was warning us against wrong motives, against doing our good deeds to attract attention to ourselves. T.S. Eliot, in his book, Murder in the Cathedral, said, "The last temptation is the greatest season to do the right deed for the wrong reason." On the surface, it might appear that this teaching conflicts with Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 and 16, that we should do our work and live in such a way so as to let our light shine before others. In reality, this only surface. Now, when Jesus admonishes us to let our light shine, it was for the purpose that we would glorify God and lead others to become his followers. Amen? Praise God. But now he dealt with the practice of individuals putting their piety on parade. The end result of such religion is to glorify oneself and not God. In Matthew 6 and 2, when Jesus said they will have their reward, he used a word from the business world. This word signifies the settlement of an account. Thus, he was saying that when we do our deeds before others and receive their applauses, our transaction has resulted in our good deeds being paid for by the attention of others. For instance, the generous giver is called generous, and thus his or her account is paid in full and closed. Those who do good deeds for the praise of others have received their reward by being acclaimed. Truly spiritual people, they have received what they really wanted and all that they will ever get. When we do good deeds, not to call attention to ourselves, but as an expression of our love for God. Amen? For God, not for ourselves. We are following the precepts of Christ to do good deeds for any other reason is to destroy the blessings and joy of having done them. Think about that. Now, this happens only when your halo in Matthew 6, 5 through 15, your halo is too tight when you pray to impress others. We're not here to pray to impress others. Our concern is only to please God, to impress God, not human beings. Now, sometimes something dies within us and within our prayer life whenever we advertise it to aid us keeping our prayer life alive and vibrant. Jesus issued a plea, offered a pattern, and made a promise. Amen. You don't have to take my word for it. We just read it right there in the Bible when he said, when you pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name. Amen. Praise be to God. In verses 5 through 8, a plea. Quite pointedly, Jesus' plea was that we should not pray like the hypocrites do. Our prayers are to be a sincere matter between ourselves and our God. We are not to get lost in needless verbiage, definite times of the day were set aside for prayer by committed Jews. Beyond attending their worship service at set times, they were expected to pray at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. every day. From this practice, since the days of Ezra, the prayer life of Israel had become increasingly mechanical and routine. Jesus contended that our halo is too tight when we pray to impress others. The specified hour of prayer might overtake a person anywhere. There is no special time to pray. This is what he's saying. A specific hour of prayer might overtake a person anywhere. Hypocrites were quite pleased if it caught them in a public place. In fact, they often took great care to arrange such a situation. Jesus said in verse 5 that they loved to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others when they pray. Jesus was not condemning public prayer. On many occasions, he attended the synagogue and engaged in public prayer. His disciples followed the same practice. Rather, Jesus was asking us to direct our prayer to God instead of to the galleries. If our public prayer is so directed, it will be as private a prayer as we might offer in the quietness of our home. Jesus asks that we not think of prayer as the repetition of many, many words. You don't have to pray a two-page prayer. God hears you even if you say nothing, or if you just bow down, or if you say, Lord, have mercy. God hears you. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask. We may liken God to a large reservoir filled with water. Our prayers do not place water in the reservoirs. They only open the gates and allow the water to flow. Prayer is never overcoming God's reluctance, but rather is laying hold on his willingness. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In verses 8 through 13, a pattern. The best known prayer in history can be repeated in 20 seconds. It is composed of 66 words, 50 of which are one-syllable words. This prayer is simple enough to be understood by a child, and yet profound enough to express the heart's desire of the most mature. On one hand, the prayer is personal enough to be prayed in private. And on the other hand, public enough to be prayed by entire congregation in worship service. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus certainly had no intention of stiffing spontaneous prayers when he said in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This prayer pattern is not designed as a straitjacket, but as a stimulant to meaningful prayer. Jesus used his favorite term for God when he admonishes us to call God Father. This expression speaks of the direct access we have to our Father. Heaven had come to denote the majesty of God. Therefore, Jesus, in his prayer, spoke of our Father as one who abides in heaven. Such an invocation opens the way for the requests that follow. It is significant that the first petition of prayer is an expression of admiration. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallow be thy name. To hallow God's name is to hold God's name in respect and reverence. The reign of God is expressed in the words, thy kingdom come. In a very real sense, God's reign has already begun. But his consummation awaits the future. As disciples, we are to wait and pray. The kingdom of God is both a future promise and a present possession. It is open for business in here and now. And people can enter it today. But it is our responsibility to work with God in bringing about the realization of his kingdom. Therefore, we are to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus directed his attention from the future to the present in the second half of this prayer. He said that we should pray, give us this day our daily bread. It is true that a person does not live by bread alone, but it is equally true that without bread, he or she does not live at all. Jesus is clearly saying that God is vitally interested in our physical needs. When we go hungry, God cares. Our present need is also characterized by the requirement for daily forgiveness. Thus, we are to request that our Heavenly Father will forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Both sin and hunger are daily occurrences. Surely the latter part of that request underscores the fact that an unforgiving spirit in us closes the door to God's forgiveness. Temptation is an ever-present problem in the Christian's life. Our request is that God will lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The very natural human aversion to difficult encounters is expressed in this prayer, as well as a cry for help when such encounters come our way. We are to pray that God will spare us trials that will severely test our faith. When such trials come, we pray that he will give us the ability to live through them victoriously. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In verse 6, 14 through 13, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, a promise. Just how God will reward our secret prayers, we do not know. But that he will do it, we can be most assured, for this is his promise. After Jesus completed the pattern prayer, he felt it necessary to go back and extract one of the petitions and give it special attention. As we forgive our debtors, refusing to forgive others is detrimental to the person who refuses to grant such forgiveness. Unforgiveness can wreck personal health, destroy our sense of well-being, spoil our relations with to others, and build a barrier between us and God. The person who does not forgive thinks more of grudges than grace and more of halos than holiness. Your halo is too tight. When in your prayers to impress others, there is no room for forgiving those who have offended you. Now Matthew 6:16-18 tells us your halo, it's too tight when you fast to appear spiritual. Now, just like advertising the prayers, we offer the good deeds we do. Advertising our fasting destroys whatever blessing it might bring. It appears that the fasting prevalent in Jesus' day had three main purposes. First, it was designed to draw attention from God to the individual who fasted. Second, it was an obvious attempt to prove that repentance was genuine. And third, fasting was often vicarious, excuse me. That is, it was not designed for one's own personal benefit, but rather to move God to save a nation from its problems. We are admonished by Jesus not to look dismal, like the hypocrites when we fast. Jesus is saying that we are never to put our piety on parade. Contemporary fasting may operate in a different manner. For instance, individuals may arrive at church late so that their attendance will be noticed by everyone. Or they may contribute to good causes with the main intention of being recognized for their generosity. Beware of those seeking public office who go out of their way to announce that they are an ordained elder or a deacon, steward, or minister. The question is, what is legitimate fasting? Not long ago, I was visiting with a small child who was critically ill. Her mother was at her bedside, assuming that the mother had not eaten recently. I asked, "Have you had any dinner this evening?" Her reply was simple. Excuse me, her reply was simply, "No." Then I asked if she had eaten any lunch, and then if she had eaten any breakfast. The answer was still no. She looked up at me and said, "Pastor, I have been so concerned about my child that I haven't really not wanted anything to eat." It is possible to center one's mind so much on God that one does not care for physical food. In such a case, fasting comes from the heart and soul. In verses 16 through 18, Jesus explained the great paradox of the Christian's reward. Those who look for rewards and who assume they are deserving never really receive them. On the other hand, those who diligently work for the kingdom of God and who never think they deserve a reward do in fact receive that reward. So what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. And my conclusion is, halos are a figment of the imagination created by medieval artists. And in spiritual matters, they are doubly a figment of the imagination. Your relation to Christ and to others will become far more meaningful when you not only stop wearing your halo so tight, but stop wearing it at all. So we are not here to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God in everything that we do. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was on to me. Praise be to God. And I just want to say, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, was risen from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of Christ. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based teaching church to further your walk and to gain more knowledge of who Christ really is. Amen. Praise God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 through 25. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise
Amen.
Be to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. And that is concludes our program for this evening. And at this time, I just want to say on behalf of my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, my co-host, Sister Barbara, the Fivefold Ministry, and all of our guests online and those on the internet, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will come and bless our hearts with a mighty word from God. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Amen? And following Apostle Mother Wiggins' message, our very own Sister Barbara will come with our poetry. And following the poetry, our very own Pastor Stephen and Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be with us. Talk in the sanctuary. Amen. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. If you have to go out, make sure you take your umbrellas and stay safe. We love you. We appreciate you. And we just just so, so thankful that you didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. Amen. God bless you. Love you guys, and shalom. And on that note, we are going to All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. Praise God. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
No, no.